Welcome to the Area First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. A habit is something we do regularly, out of practice, often even without thinking. We all have good habits and bad habits. The key is to develop habits that make us more like Jesus. And that's what we've been learning in our series, Kingdom Habits. Pastor Nicole has been joined by Pastor Daniel Brooker throughout this series to share how we can better bless those around us, why it's so important to intentionally listen for the Holy Spirit. We've seen the spiritual power of sharing a meal together, and we've learned practical steps to help us learn more about the character of God. Pastor Nicole is wrapping up our series today, and we'll see how we can take advantage of the opportunity God puts in front of us to be Christ's representatives here on earth. So let's get started today and discover how our gifts grow when we serve others. Here's Pastor Nicole.
Today, we are completing our series about kingdom habits. And this series is discussing five habits of highly missional people. A habit is something that we do regularly. We do it maybe out of practice, often without thinking. Everybody has good habits and bad habits. And the key to developing missional habits, kingdom habits, is that we do things that make us more like Jesus, things that automatically push us closer to being the people that God created us to be. So I just want to recap for you briefly. If you missed any of the previous weeks, you can catch them on the podcast or our Facebook page. But the first week, we talked about blessing three people a week, at least one of whom does not attend your church. Number two, eat with three people a week, at least one of whom does not attend your church. Number three, spend at least one period of the week listening for the Holy Spirit's voice. Number four was spend at least one period of the week learning about Christ. And the final habit that we're going to talk about today is to journal throughout the week the ways that you are able to be Christ's representative. So that's the fifth habit. How many of you have done one or two of these? You've done maybe a couple of them throughout this series. All right, awesome. If you haven't started, you can start now. These are actually five habits out of a book that we were reading as a staff. It's called Surprise the World, and it's a great book. If you maybe you've picked it up out in the lobby. If you haven't, you can get it on Amazon, but it's a really good book just talking about how we can live our lives in a way that just honors God all the time. So let's start with talk about number five today. Before my husband and I ever go to see a movie, we always watch the trailer first. Anybody else have that habit? We always watch the trailer. We want to know if the movie seems like something we would enjoy, if the plot's exciting, if the actors are compelling, if we know anybody in it. And in that 2-minute teaser, it can tell you a lot about the movie. Now, sometimes teasers are nothing like the movie. Anyone experience that? And it's so disappointing because you think it's going to be the greatest, most funny movie, and you get there and the only funny parts were on the teaser. Anyone have that happen? That was the only funny part. And so sometimes it does not tell about the movie. But the point, the overall idea about a movie trailer is it foreshadows and anticipates what's to come for the actual entire movie. And in that book by Michael Frost, he uses this example, is that this is a great metaphor for Christ followers. If we do our job well, people will see our lives and they will want to know more about the God we serve. We are living, walking movie trailers for the best message of all time, and we need to do it well. We need to represent God's message well. And so today I want to talk a little bit about a man in the New Testament named Philip, who modeled this kingdom habit well. He was an excellent representative of the gospel. Now, we don't know a lot about Philip. His account is brief in the Bible. He occupies one entire chapter in Acts 8, and then he has a few other kind of small cameo appearances. But Philip tells a big story in a very small amount of space. And the trailer scenes that we get to see of Philip's life are pretty impressive. So if I was going to sum up Philip's life, I would say this, that Philip wanted people to know this, is that big faith is a big deal to Jesus. Big faith is a big deal to Jesus. Say that to the person next to you that you came with today. Big faith is a big deal to Jesus. You see, God highlighted this man's life in the scripture as an example for us. He highlighted some pieces of Philip's life for us to see and understand. Philip was an effective personal worker for the Lord. He was a powerful communicator for the truth of Jesus. So he's first mentioned in the book of Acts 6. He was one of the seven people who were chosen to help take care of the poor in the church in Jerusalem. He was a servant. He was compassionate. He was a lover of people. And I wanted to make sure that I included this part of Philip's story because I think there's a message in it. There's a reason that we know that Philip was part of this crew of people, these seven people who were chosen to help take care of the poor and the church of Jerusalem. God is showing us this, is that all of our gifts, all of the gifts God gives us, grow out of serving others. All of your gifts are going to grow up and out of serving others. So here's the deal. If you want to be a powerhouse at evangelism, if you want to be an effective prophet, if you want to be an incredible teacher, if you want to be an anointed worship leader, it has to all center and start with caring and loving for people. There is no other biblical way to use any gift in the scripture except out of loving people. If you are doing it because you feel like you know what's best, or you're doing it because you have a gift and you want people to see or understand your gift, all of that is off center. The scripture says there is no other biblical way to use any spiritual gift unless the focus is caring and loving for the church and the people in it. You'll recognize this passage. I want to read it to you. 1 Corinthians 13. This is where I get it. We're not at a wedding, okay? This is actually applies to lots of different situations. It says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And so all our gifts grow out of serving others. If you want the gifts to grow in your life, then find a place to serve and love people. I think often when we want a gift to grow in our life, we study the gift or we go to a conference about the gift. And I'm not saying that that's wrong or bad, but you need to do that. But you also need to ask God to show you how to love and care for people. Because out of loving and caring for people, your gift will grow. In Matthew 9, this was written about Jesus. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You see, Jesus loves us so much, he wants a personal relationship with us. He doesn't want stuff from us. He doesn't need anything that we can give him. He just wants to be close to us. Jesus is crazy about you on your best day and on your worst day, and every moment in between. And so when we criticize or judge people for making bad decisions or for not understanding the ways of God or for some type of sin that they're in that maybe they haven't figured out how to get out of yet. When we criticize and judge, we're not being like Jesus, okay? We're not being like Jesus. When Jesus sees all of the places that we are not hitting the mark, and he looks at us and he has compassion on us because he is our shepherd, and he wants to help us understand and get into those ways. Jesus wept over his children who didn't know him more than once in scripture. And Jesus deeply cared for individuals. His desire is for each of us to understand his great and deep love for us. Okay, so Philip, he's in Acts 6. He's taking care of the people in the church. Next time we see him is in Acts 8. I'm going to read to you the first three verses. It says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Now, what I find really interesting here is if you notice the beginning of Philip's opportunities to share the love of Jesus came from persecution. The very beginning, of his opportunity, the impossible situation, the hard circumstances created an opportunity for Philip to tell the story of Jesus, to tell his story, to tell his testimony. And in Acts 8, it continues, and it talks about how Philip goes to Samaria, and he's telling all the people about the Messiah. And the scripture says, even though all of that persecution was happening and all of that hardship is happening, the scripture says there was great joy in the city because Philip was there telling the good news of the gospel. You may remember this part of the account. He's proclaiming the truth, and a sorcerer named Simon heard it. And the truth just shook the sorcerer. He realized that it wasn't just expert magic, and Simon believed in his heart that Jesus was Lord. He was baptized, and he started following Philip everywhere he went. And this just shows us, once you get a glimpse of who Jesus really is, your whole world changes. You just want more of that. You want more of who Jesus is. And once you experience big faith, everything changes. You can't be the same anymore. Simon wanted to experience more of what Philip had. He saw his life. He saw the testimony of his life. And he began to follow him around saying, show me the ways and the ways that you encounter God. You know, I was thinking about this. Do you ever wonder why some people seem to have more chances to share about their faith than others? It just seems like some people have more chances. Maybe they tell you stories about how they shared their faith, or you see it on social media or whatnot. And I thought about this. Was Philip like an extrovert, maybe? You know, like he was always up in everyone's face, or was he one of those crazy guys with a megaphone on the corner? They didn't have megaphones then. Or did he go to seminary and he knew all of the information? You know, actually, Philip wasn't any of those things. And so I answered my own question with this. Philip had an opportunity everywhere he went to share the gospel because he was available. He looked for it. He looked for the setup. He knew that God would give him opportunity. So he kept his eyes open and he took the appointments that God set up for him. And so the credit doesn't go to Philip for finding the people and setting up all the appointments and having all the, the exact ways. All Philip did is say, hey, God, I'm here if you need me. I'll talk to someone if you put them in my path. I'll put my phone down in the doctor's waiting room and won't play that 77th game of Candy Crush if you show me somebody that I need to talk to today. I'll travel in the airport without my earbuds in case you've got somebody. I don't have to push for it. I don't have to be aggressive. I don't have to be awkward, but I'm available if you want to use me. And as we're going through these missional habits, I've heard a lot of great testimonies from many of you of how God has used you as you've been available. And today, my friend PJ is going to come up here. Would you thank PJ? It's scary coming up here. She's going to come. And I just want her to tell you a quick story of a divine appointment that God set up, right? This almost exact. You can come right over here. That's for Daniel, actually. You're good.
Tell us about it. Yeah. Well, it started off as a normal day. I went to Wendy's with the intention of eating lunch in my car. Because, you know, sometimes those places inside are freezing. So I went in. And I had noticed a senior. She was having trouble getting in. So I just kind of noticed her and didn't think too much about it. Got my lunch. And I was going to just prepare it and get it ready to go in the car. So I'm sitting at the booth. And I look around. I thought, this is weird. There's nobody else in the whole place but us. Just her and me. And I'm like, okay, what's up, Lord? I really want to go. But then I looked over at her and I saw her looking at me. So I thought, okay, Lord, this isn't a mistake. What do you want me to do? And I had the most amazing rush of love. It's like the Lord gave me a window into her heart. And I saw she was lonely. So I said, okay, that's it. I'm going over. I'm going to talk to this lady. And this is out of my wheelhouse, y'all. I just don't just take up my lunch and go sit down with this perfect stranger and say, how are you doing? That's not what I do. So I did. And she says, I was sitting here hoping you would come over. Found out she's a brand new widow. She's 81 years old. And her husband passed in February. Then God did something amazing. Come to find out, he died of lung cancer. Same as my mom. Same lung, same way, same everything. Y'all, that's God. That was set up by him. So now we've exchanged phone numbers, and I think I've got a new friend. She's a pre-Christian, but she was open.
What's her name? Loretta. All right, will you bow your head right now? Let's pray for Loretta, this whole church. Jesus, we come to you right now. And God, we know you love her so much that you sent PJ into a Wendy's who wanted to sit in her car, but told her to go sit down. And God, we know this is no accident because you, Father, love your people. You love your people. And so we pray in Jesus' name that Loretta would come to understand the saving grace of Jesus Christ through PJ or anyone else that you send to her. And that someday we can celebrate in heaven because you have done what only you can do and set up a divine appointment. God, it's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, I just want to finish looking at the rest of Philip's story briefly today. I asked Pastor Daniel if he would come just to help me read the scripture so that you can identify what's my words and what is the scripture. So in Acts 8:26, this is what happens next.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.
So Philip is given specific instructions with no explained outcome. I would like to tell you God only did this once, but that is not true. There's actually quite a few times in the scripture, I think of Abraham, where God says, pack up and leave, and I'll tell you where you're going on the way. Now, I don't know about you, but for some of us, that feels scary or unacceptable. At times, we want to know A, B, C, what's the steps we're taking? Do I need sunscreen? How about a toothbrush, right? Like, we want to know, what do we need to bring with us? We want to know the steps. We want to know the way that we're going, and we want to know what we're going to do. But Philip teaches us this. Supernatural guidance comes often one step at a time. And God tells us just the next step. We overthink and overprocess and overworry and overplan. But God is saying, hey, go this direction. In this particular example, he said, go south. Start moving and I will show you the rest when you get there. And I believe today for some of you in this room, God has given you a direction. He's given you a step and you're waiting to take it because you want to know the whole plan. I want you to know just because you don't know the plan doesn't mean there isn't a plan, okay? There's a plan. You just don't know it, but the God of the universe knows it. And so go back to what God is telling you to do and whatever direction he's telling you to step, take that next step. Because often supernatural guidance comes one step at a time. I was given this analogy many years ago that when you're walking through a dark alley or a dark cave, you stay very close to the person with the flashlight. Jesus is the one with the flashlight. And so in order for you to stay very close to him through a very difficult process, he's just going to give you the next step and then the next step because you don't want to get too far ahead of him. You don't want to get too far behind him. And so you need to do the very next step. So Philip does this. He listens closely. He goes exactly where God tells him to go. It's interesting how detailed the angel was when he told Philip where to go. He told him the exact road, the exact direction. I've often thought, have you ever looked back on something and realized how different the outcome could have been if something was changed in the slightest? Like if a bone break was just 2 centimeters more to one direction or the other. If the trip would have landed just one day later, if you would have left the house just 15 minutes earlier, if you would have taken the highway instead of the back roads, the slightest change would have affected the whole story. The details matter to God. The details matter to God. And someday, I think we'll understand just how much they matter. But in the meantime, we have to trust God when he says, go south to the desert road between Jerusalem and Gaza. And often, I think when we practice hearing God in the small things of life and we obey those commands, we find ourselves in really big things. We find ourselves that God is taking us to something really big. All right, so let's keep reading verses 27 and 28.
So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet.
So I think the gold in this part of the story are these three words, on his way. He was heading to where God told him to go, and he happened to run into this man. And we could see in hindsight, this is the reason that God sent Philip on the road, but Philip didn't know that yet. Philip was on his way to wherever God was sending him. He was just passing through. He didn't think he had arrived to whatever intended destination God had. Yet Philip, like PJ, saw a divine moment. Okay, here is a divine moment. Philip had been preaching to a whole multitude of people in Samaria. He was preaching to crowds and crowds of people. But when he walked down this particular desert road, he took interest in this one man. You know what I love about this? It didn't have to be a huge group of people to matter to Philip. Philip wasn't waiting for his opportunity. Where can I get the most attention, or where can I preach Christ with the most people around? He knew that his time and work with Christ, telling Christ, mattered to every one person. If he could just tell the gospel to one person who understood who Christ was, that mattered. I love Philip's attitude in this. So Jesus, you know, he modeled the same thing when he was on earth. Jesus, he spoke to multitudes, but he also spoke to individuals. He gathered his disciples one by one. He put them to work that they might bring in others. In fact, Jesus spent a large part of his 3 years of ministry in gathering and training just 12 men. So in this story, Philip, the guy who with big faith, mattered to God. And so did the Ethiopian with no faith. Now, this is just mind-blowing if you think about it. Out of all the tens of thousands of Jews and Gentiles and Samaritans that needed Christ, the Lord sovereignly sets his favor on this Ethiopian man and sends an angel to Philip. So that means this Ethiopian man meant so much to God that he sent an angel to commission Philip to find him. This is what God does to rescue us. Okay, these are the types of things that he does. It's mind-blowing. All right, so verse 29.
The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it.
Okay, yet another vague direction, God. Thank you. Go to the chariot, stay near it. I'm sure Philip does it in as awkward and stalkerish way as it appears. You know, we don't know how long he was next to the chariot before he was allowed to say something. They were probably thinking something weird was happening. So verse 30.
Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him.
The timing, again, of the Holy Spirit is so perfect. At that very moment, Philip, no doubt wondering what he would do or say, he gets to the chariot and he hears the Ethiopian reading out loud the book of Isaiah. The very place where he is reading is a specific reference to Jesus when he died on the cross. I mean, Philip's like, oh, perfect. This is the perfect place I can tell him about Jesus. And so Acts 8:32 was originally written in Isaiah 53, 7 through 8. And this is what it says.
He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.
So here we are in this divine appointment. God is setting this up long before Philip ever came to the road. And God wants us to remember here that if we do our part, he will do his. If we do our part, he will do his. He will set us up. He will create an opportunity. He will prepare a heart. But we have to open our mouths and share the story. We have to show up. We have to not quit. We have to let God use us even when we're clunky or stumbling or stuttering or awkward. We have to let God use us. Philip knew the scripture. He was prepared to give an answer to what the Ethiopian was asking. I think this is so important. We talked about this last week about how we need to spend time learning about Christ, spend time learning about the scripture. And that's because in another book of the New Testament, it says in 2 Timothy 4:2, Pastor Daniel, will you read that for us?
Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.
Okay, so it's so important for us to know that so that when we have an opportunity, we can share it and we could share it effectively and we could share it in a way that makes sense to people. Philip focused on Christ's death on the cross and his promise to return again. And he explained to the Ethiopian the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for his people and how he traded places with us and how he took our place and he got all our shame and guilt and we got all the freedom and grace. And we need to learn and know the scripture for the purpose of what it does to our own heart, but so we can share it with other people. I think some of us in this room today, your spiritual backpack is loaded with knowledge from the scripture, and I'm so grateful for that. But I want to encourage you, now it's time to give it away. Now it's time to give it away. Focus on what we know as absolutes and the most important part of faith, that Jesus came to earth to save us. He died on a cross in our place. He rose again on the third day. And because of that, we can spend eternity in heaven with him if we repent and believe. Let's just read the end there, verses 34 through 39, what happened.
The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing.
So this eunuch, this Ethiopian man, after he had this experience, he became a missionary to his country. So he went back to his land and he told everyone he could. And Philip could never have known the opportunity that he had when speaking with this man. It wasn't just about one person. Philip was talking to one person and it appeared that it was about one person, but it wasn't just about one person. It was about scores of people. Because when God created this opportunity for Philip, he had thousands of people on his mind. Philip's obedience and boldness with this message changed an entire country. God will use you like that too. If you're available, if you're willing, he sees further down the road than we ever can. You see, big faith is a big deal to God. Let me end with this. If you're here for the very first time, or maybe this Jesus thing is new to you, I want you to know that God has brought you here on this specific divine moment to tell you how much he loves you. And if you're here and you've decided to believe in Jesus or you want to understand more what that's about, I want to tell you it's the most important decision you'll ever make. We want to help you. We want to give you resources. We want to introduce you to some people. So before you leave today, to my right and to my left, there's going to be a prayer team. In fact, if you're on the prayer team, you can go there now. We just want to talk to you. We just want to tell you more about the good news of Jesus. And so the fifth missional habit is to journal, record, keep track of the ways God is using you to spread the gospel. And as you keep your eyes open, as you keep your conversations and opportunities, just watch and see what God can do through you. Would you stand? We want to pray for you today. Again, if you want to know more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, please go to those prayer tables before you leave. Your mom will be glad you did. She won't even complain if you're late for lunch. Pray with me. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your heart, for your people. We thank you that you have compassion on us and that you are the great shepherd. Lord, would you use us divinely Would you help us look for every opportunity? Would you help us be the best movie trailer possible to explain who you are to the world? Give us divine appointments. Give us appointments to be preach the gospel in season and out. Give us great opportunity. And God, would your great message go forth through every man and woman in this room? God, we love you and we trust you and we give you praise today. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. If you enjoy our podcast, please give us a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.